And welcome back to the Trail Count Podcast. It's your boy, the handsome heel, Trail, checking in from beautiful Los Angeles. And of course, I got my boy, Jules Bell, on the line from the deep soul desert of Arizona. What's going on out there, baby?
Going good.
How hot is it out there right now?
It's about 86.
Not bad. Disrespectful. What are we? Dude, we're in like freaking, what is this? Basically, you might as well say, this is the fall. Y'all, you know what I mean? You know what? I'm being a hater though, because guys who don't know, I'm in the military. So I was just stationed. I just did 3 or 4 years in Arizona. Now I'm in LA. But even though we have great weather here, I love the weather here too. I'm a hot weather guy. But I loved the weather in AZ as well. I kind of miss it out there. So, but anyways, man, let's jump into it. We got a packed pod, like I was saying before. Obviously my people here on listening here on IG Live already heard me say it, but all you folks here on Spotify land and podcast land, obviously I know I owed you guys a pod from Sunday. So we're going to actually go ahead and quickly review over on to the NXT No Mercy PLE show that we had. But real quick, just also speaking of that, just want to shout everybody out. Thank you for joining us here tonight on IG Live. And thank you for those who will end up listening on your podcast platform. Make sure you like and subscribe so you can catch new episodes as soon as they get hot out the skillet. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, let's go ahead and roll right on to that thing. NXT No Mercy, man. First of all, let me scroll down to my good old notes right here. But yeah, first of all, I mean, obviously we had a lot of things go down. This was a PLE show that was pushing towards the whole TNA NXT invasion angle, and that continued on, obviously. But we kicked off with Briggs versus Javon. That was shockingly a decent match. I feel like I'm not really big on Josh Briggs, but I don't really have any beef against him. Obviously, Javon won that match after it was already announced that Javon Evans will be facing Leon Slater at TNA's Bound for Glory for the X Division Championship. So obviously, when you get announced for a big match like that, you got to win. So I already had Javon Evans winning this match. And obviously, to me at least, Javon Evans is a much bigger star than Josh Briggs. So it would have made no sense for Josh Briggs to beat Javon Evans in that one. So I'm not really going to get stuck on that one. That's just where it's at. Then we had Saul Ruka versus Jada Parker for it. So interesting thing there. So that match originally was scheduled the Speed Championship, right? And then we had someone got hurt.
It was the Speed Championship.
Yeah. And Lainey Reed got injured in that match. Now, I don't know if this is like, so she's claiming that she got injured during training, right? I don't know if that's just storyline or if that really actually happened. But either way, she wasn't cleared to be in the match. So Ruka decides that she's going to have the match anyways. And then we get a surprise replacement being Jada Parker. But before we get into that, I do want to kind of backpedal a little bit because, you know, originally, I mean, let's not forget, we had Candice LeRae was the original, right? Was it Candice LeRae? Oh, no, it wasn't Candice LeRae. I'm sorry. You know what it is? Okay, never mind. I'm messing up. So I think it was Candice LeRae that fought Lainey Reed on NXT last week for the spot, right? And then Lainey Reed won that match to earn the opportunity at No Mercy. Okay, my bad. Because in my head, for a split second, I was like, oh, they pulled Candice and Lainey Reed. Okay, never mind. Okay, so I was about to be like, why did they not use Candice? But she didn't win. She didn't win the match. That's my bad, y'all. Okay, even I'm not perfect all the time, guys. Okay, so that's my bad. But anyway, so obviously they brought in Jada Parker. Not a bad pick. Last minute or supposedly last minute, you had an injury and you had to get a replacement talent. So my thing about Jada Parker, man, like, I don't have any beef with her, man. I like her, but, I mean, my thing with her character, bro, is, like, to me, she's on this hamster wheel, this hamster wheel that she can't get out off of, man. It's like, she comes, you know, she talks a big talk, decent talker, right? Decent promos. you know, she pops up. She's always ready for a fight, ready for a challenge. But then in the end, she loses and chokes and fumbles the ball and doesn't get the win. There has been several matches where Jada Parker could have already been like a 3-time champion, like, you know what I mean, or whatever, right? Like, there were times that I felt like she was going to win the championship. Why do you feel like that NXT has not pulled the trigger and put any type of championships on Jada Parker?
You know, that's an interesting question that you brought up about Jada Parker, because she definitely, she's going to be a superstar. I think what they're doing with her, I think they're trying to mold her into a superstar, but they're letting her take some losses kind of along the way here. Then they'll probably push the button and with her and let her go full force. Because, I mean, she's still young, she's still growing and all that, so they're gonna push the limits with her pretty much soon enough.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, come on, man. Like, I hear what you're saying, but it's like every time, like, even with this, right? Like, well, I get it, because with the Sol Ruka angle, they want to continue pushing because she's a double champion. And I'm using air quotes because, I mean, this whole speed championship thing, I really don't like it. I think it's really stupid.
I agree with you. I didn't like it at the beginning.
I think the belt looks stupid. I think the whole... To me, the belt looks stupid. The whole concept of it is stupid. Even though, because as soon as I saw Speed Championship, I was like, oh, I'm not going to like this, or this is going to be boring. But now I'm not going to lie. Like, with Sol Ruka and Jada, as far as the match, it was a decent match for what it was. Both of them have decent chemistry with each other. But just the whole, you know, running through it, or maybe that made the match a little bit better, I guess, because of the fact that they only had so much time. So it was a very fast-paced match. I guess I'm a fan of fast-paced action. I know every fan is kind of different, but I like to get it and go fast-paced. And because they only had so much time to get it done, I felt like maybe that's what made the match watchable, I guess. But then the whole concept of this speed thing. I mean, how much time is it? Was it like 5 minutes? What is it like?
So basically, I think they did what, like 1 minute or so on the clock.
I thought it was like 5.
I think it is like 5. Yeah.
I think it was at least 5 because the match was on for longer than 1 minute for sure.
So that's when starts counting down, you know, the clock, and then once, because she beat her, I think right at the like what 15 minute, I think 15 second.
She beat her. Yeah, and then because then we had something happened in the match, right? Like, what happened? I know Sol Ruka retained, but then I think it was someone interfered or something.
Yeah, I think somebody did.
You see how forgettable this is? Because honestly, bro, I watched the show, but I'm like, this is like, you know what I'm saying? It's not interesting. I mean, I don't even, and everybody knows, dude, I watch every show every week. I've never watched a speech. I mean, when does it even come on? Like, wasn't it like a whole show or something like that?
So at first it was doing like the whole taping of it. They were doing it after, like, I think it was SmackDown.
Oh, you know what? No. But you know what? I think there's a mini segment that comes on either YouTube or it comes on like X or something.
Yeah, so that's where they was.
Okay, I've never watched one. I've never watched one, and that's bad. Anybody that knows me for real knows that that's bad, because I watch everything. I'm telling you guys, I watch, I mean, dude, I watch hours of wrestling on end every week. Like, literally every week. You can ask anybody that knows me, dude. Like, literally. Like, today, I was at work. I was at my desk, and I was watching Collision today. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, if I miss it, I'm going to go back and watch it. You know what I mean? So, for me to say that I don't watch something is bad. Like, that's really bad. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see where it goes. I like Sol Ruka. I mean, I guess she's growing on me. At first, I didn't like her gimmick with the whole surfer thing. But again, they're pushing the whole double champion thing. She's one half of the NXT Tag Team Champions alongside Zarya. And so they're continually pushing her with, I'm calling her the two belt champion. And so obviously, but if that was the whole point, if you wanted to keep both titles on Sol Ruka, then I would have just picked someone else. I feel like they had other talent. That could have been a spotlight to maybe bring someone new onto the screen that doesn't necessarily need to win tonight, but just to introduce her and show everybody. Honestly, they could have brought out, we haven't seen her in a long time. They could have brought out Thea Hale for that.
Yeah, that's
I would have taken that. Thea Hale versus Sol Ruka in the Speed Championship for 5 minutes.
We haven't seen her.
Right, I would have took that. I would have took that, no problem. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even expect her to win. But when you bring out Jada Parker, who I feel like is due like some championship push or something like that, really, honestly, Jada Parker to me is ready for the main roster right now. To me, you know what I mean. So for me, I'm just like, oh, okay, what are we doing here? But I have to go back. I'm pretty sure they'll cover it again tomorrow night for our NXT. We'll check it out. Because honestly, I think there was someone, I think if you want to call it that, they did protect her because they had, as I can recall, they had someone interfere in that match or distracted her or whatever it was that caused her to actually lose the match. I believe that's what happened. So I'm pretty sure that is what happened. I just can't remember I can't think of who it was at the time, but we'll come back to that one. So then what else did we have go down, man? Jordan Grace. Brother, Jordan Grace, Blake Monroe, one-on-one in the weaponized steel cage match. I mean, this thing was everything. And then I love the small touches and details of it where you had Blake Monroe. First of all, Blake Monroe is just money, man. I mean, super big megastar. You know, she comes out. Honestly, it's crazy to me because, you know, when she was in AEW, right? And before my AEW stands come after me, I'm not trying to talk about you guys, but come on, like, you got to admit, Mariah May was a hit. I liked her, you know, ish as Mariah May. It was like, oh, okay, there goes, but I was never like, oh my God, it's Mariah May, right? But then it was like, once she got to WWE and this whole Blake Monroe transformation, I feel like, you know, whatever kind of small amount of star power that was there in AEW became times three. It was like they took it and they ran with it. You know what I mean? And I mean, dude, it's yeah.
Shared with AEW is like you said, it's night and day. Same thing with Jay Cargill when she was there. It wasn't really doing nothing with her, you know. She was just coming out there each week and stuff like that. Wasn't putting any effort into her.
Well, hold on now. You can't now. I will say this. Hold on now, because you know, hey, look, this is my show, damn it, and they're gonna come after me, Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So I'm hold on. I'm gonna say this now. Now with Jay Cargill, they had Jay Cargill on some Goldberg type shit because they had her like undefeated. I mean, it was good. I enjoyed the whole streak. The TBS championship run was good. But it was just that she had ran her course in AEW. So, okay, you have this streak, you have this championship. At the time, now I'm not gonna say now. I feel like now they have developed their women's division a little bit more. So I'm not saying now, and I'm being careful what I say. I'm not saying right now, but I'm saying back in the day, because Jay's been gone a couple years now. She's been gone a couple years, right? So what I'm saying is, right, 03. I mean, not 03, but 23, right? So, I mean, to be fair, around that time. So, to be fair, I feel like around that time, the AEW women's division was still kind of developing. The stars that you see now weren't as big or established as they are now as far as the main event scene goes, right? To me, at the time, there was nobody or hardly anybody. I'm not going to say nobody, but hardly anybody that I feel like that I would have taken seriously for Jade Cargill to come in and just get dominated. I wouldn't say dominated, but at least somebody that come in and beat her for a championship and make it believable, right? Whatever. So I feel like at the time, she had ran her course. And then anybody, I think there was a few where it was like, oh, okay, you know, I think there was like one or two matchups where it was like, oh, wait a minute, like she's going against so-and-so. She may lose this one, but she didn't. And then she beat that person to continue the undefeated streak. So at this point, it's like, oh, okay, well, that's it. Like she's anybody that was a threat, she already beat. And then there's nobody left. So I feel like that was peak time for her to leave. and go to WWE. But I will say, and I don't say this about many stars. Matter of fact, I don't say this about anybody else. But I will say when it comes to her, she is the one exception where, because, you know, always WWE guys are always like, oh, well, you know, that person so-and-so wouldn't be who they are if it wasn't for WWE and AEW. I will say that Jade Cargill would not be who she is without AEW. I will say that. But I do feel like she's developed her character more, and she's expanded upon that coming to, you know, the big machine that is TKO. The same thing, you know, back to Blake Monroe. She's pretty much getting that same treatment, that, you know, the same thing where, like, she was pretty decent, had a pretty big deal, had the whole run with Toni Storm over there and AEW, but now, you know, transitioning over to NXT. Now that superstar power is being pushed that was already there, right? So kind of the same thing, right? So we've picked up two, I would say, mega female superstars from the AEW brand, right? And, you know, so all you, like I said, you AEW, you know, super fans out there listening in, y'all, you know, I don't want y'all, look, I gave y'all credit tonight twice. Twice, because I, dude, trust me, I be getting inboxes and all type of shit, dude. Like, so look, I gave y'all credit twice. I told you gave us Jade Cargill and you gave us Blake Monroe, okay? So I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So, but again, it was a great match. Obviously, we had Jordynne Grace getting her revenge, hitting the air raid crash from the ceiling. You know what I mean? Off the top of the cage, but off the top rope, into a table. We had the whole nine. We had tacks. We had all type of weapons. And a great small touch with them putting in the pink trash cans for Blake Monroe's character there. That was pretty dope. They went the whole nine with it. So, and then, of course, how can I forget the famous the weave spot? And we had Blake Monroe cutting the hair of Jordynne Grace. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know if it was weave, but she. Well, I mean, I'm hoping that wasn't her real hair, but that's what I would say. You know what I mean? So that was a great spot. So that was, to me, that was. I'm gonna have to go ahead and call that match of the night. Even though we did have Ricky Saints win the championship, but I'm still gonna call the weaponized cage match of the night to me. For NXT, up on that one. And then, so Jordynne Grace, with that win, what do we think is next for her right now? I mean, she got the win over, we would assume that this feud is going to end now, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, I think it should end. I will say this, you know, you have the Invasion thing coming up.
October 7th.
Yes, and I'm quite sure they're going to pretty much have to be maybe on teams with one another. So.
I didn't think of that. I did not think of that. You mean for like the Survivor or the War Games, NXT War Games? You're thinking, because, oh, you know what? You're onto something. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of that because the facts are, is that basically, okay, remember, they're saying that Santino and Ava are going to pick their leaders or teammates or whatever for the NXT War Games event. So, you know, like you said, I mean, if I'm Ava with the Women's War Games, I mean, at least my two locker room, you know, leader or two top names. My two top or one of my tops has got to be Jordynne Grace, Blake Monroe in that one. So, like you said, they got to be, and I can see them putting them on the same team to create that, you know, that drama or whatever, like we've seen before. And I mean, that's been the history of like Survivor Series and like, you know, War Games, where it's like, hey, you know, we're going to put these people who don't like each other on the same team. Like when you had Roman Reigns and CM Punk on the same team, you know what I mean? So, I didn't think of that. That was a good take on that one. I did not think of that. So that's a must-watch show on October. I'm thinking this Tuesday they're going to be announcing the teams, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because the actual event is going to be October the 7th, but obviously, so we're going to know who these teams are as soon as tomorrow night. So yeah, so that could be a big possibility going there. Like I already said, I'm just a crazy awesome entrance. Also of the night, the best entrance of the night, Blake Monroe once again coming through with the ring light, the whole vibe. It was a whole vibe, you know what I mean? And what's crazy, that was just her entrance on a regular pay-per-view. You know, it would be crazy to see her entrance like at a WrestleMania or even like a NXT TakeOver show or something like that, right? So, I mean, she's just, you know, you can't say, I could make the whole pod about Blake Monroe. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going to do it. So, then we had Ethan Page and Tavion Heights. For me, the jury is still out on Tavion Heights. I just feel like he needs more. I mean, obviously, but that's why he's there on the NXT. More.
He's good. He knows how to wrestle. You know, he's in good, you know, ring condition. So, but like you said, you know, he's still developing and stuff like that. So it's one of those things with Jada Parker. You know, she's developing. He's developing. So they just.
Now, you can't be comparing Jada Parker to Tavion Heights. I know you ain't just do that.
Now,
really,
he has
been there. Come on.
He has been there a little longer. So
I mean, and what has he done? Like, so my thing is, there's no character development. I feel like it's like nothing about Tavion Heights excites me. Nothing. Zero. Like, I don't look at him and be like, oh, man, Tavion Heights is in the map. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like now they're trying to force him out there. Like, they put him on the card. They put him in the program with Ethan Page. I mean, Ethan Page, All Ego, Ethan Page, my boy, shout out. Matter of fact, to All Ego, you know what I mean? Obviously, he's money. But, I mean, they put him with a guy like Ethan Page, hoping that maybe they can get something going. But I just don't see it. The match was underwhelming. That's not a shot at Ethan. Ethan Page did Ethan Page things. But yeah, that's it. Like, I mean, I have no notes on that match. You know what I mean? It's one of those matches like you have to, like, we're in an era where, like, your character must captivate people. And again, I'm not, here's the thing. He's got time, right? That's why he's in NXT, right? It's not like he's on the main roster. If he was on the main roster with this type of character, I would be crucifying him right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be frying his ass. But again, it's NXT, and that's the whole purpose of people developing and doing things. So we'll see. But right now, I'm just not big on Tavion. But whatever. We got to see Ethan Page, and that's always a good time. So there you have that, and there goes that. And then we had Lola Vice and JC Jane for the championship. Man, JC Jane is one of those ones. After what I just said, JC Jane, from the time that she showed up, I was never big on JC Jane. I never saw JC Jane being a big star, but now I do. Like, JC Jane is there. She's arrived. She's also somebody else that's ready for the main roster. I think everything that's gone down from storyline to real life involving Fatal Influence has benefited her. You know, even with the whole Mandy Rose situation, her having to leave, I think around the time that Mandy Rose rolled out, that was the time that really gave JC that door. Was like, okay, you know, either you can die along with Fatal Influence or you can rise to the top and not only keep this group around. Well, back then, Fatal Attraction, but I mean, it's the same damn thing. All they did was change one damn word, but whatever, okay? The same damn group. But anyway, it's either you can... It's either you can die with this gimmick or you can take it and run with it. And she has ran with it. Right now, I think what needs to happen, obviously, she retained the title over Lola Vice after we saw someone in all black take out Lola Vice. And in my opinion, I believe the person in all black was Lainey Reed, to be honest. I just don't see a reason for it to be anybody else. I mean, this person had on all black. They didn't take their mask off or anything. Obviously, I saw like a hair. So I saw, if you go back and look at it, the person in black, you could see like a hair bun, kind of like it was. I mean, the silhouette, you could tell like it was a female. Okay. So, I mean, at least to me, right? So I'm thinking it was Lainey Reid that took her out, or it could be a TNA person because they are pushing this whole. I know you were trying to say the TNA thing, but I just feel like but let's not forget the promo in the back before the match when Lola Vice, was in the back and she ran into Lainey Reid, and Lainey Reid told her, hey, you know what, you're not going to win tonight. You're not walking out of here champion or whatever. I'm thinking that Lainey Reid, you know, took it upon herself to take out Lola Vice. But then again, I guess I see your point too, because I guess it wouldn't make much sense for Lainey Reid to disguise herself because everybody already knows that she don't like Lola.
Right.
So if she's gonna do something, then why not just do it? You know what I mean? So I can see that too. I can see your point. So maybe it is someone from, but then if it is somebody from TNA, then who? I would have to say, if I had to pick someone as her attacker from TNA, then I'm gonna have to go with Tessa Blanchard.
That could be one person.
Or it could be someone. When I feel like it's somebody they don't want us, like somebody returning.
That's what I was saying too. I was like, yeah, they didn't reveal themselves, and I was like, you know, normally they reveal themselves, the person, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. So that.
So you feel like it's a big return or a big signing or something like that? Or somebody we kind of forgot about or wasn't thinking about or something like that?
It probably is, yeah.
But I don't know who that could be, except what was that one girl's name? What was her name, man? The Consequential Diva or something like that. What was her name? She could call herself the Diva or something.
And TNA,
she's been gone for a long time. What's her name? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I can't remember her name either. The Consequential Diva or whatever they used to.
I know
like I'm thinking maybe it's her because she's been gone for a long time.
Yeah,
and we haven't seen her in like over a year or almost two. I could see that. And then you got Bound for Glory coming up. There's no telling who's going to show up at Bound for Glory. That's pretty much like the WrestleMania of like TNA. So basically for TNA, it's WrestleMania season anyway for them. So it's like, I don't know. So we'll have to see who it is. Maybe tomorrow we'll find out on NXT.
Yeah, we'll probably find out.
But anyway, like I said, Jason Jane retaining the belt off the interference of this mask. Or this disguised individual over Lola Vice, protecting Lola Vice in the match. Lola looked strong the whole match. Both women looked pretty good in it. I liked it. Like I said, I'm, you know, becoming... I'll tell you one thing. JC Jane, to me, I think that's what it is, too. What it is, it's the entrance music. That Fatal Attraction song, the best song... I don't care what anybody says right now, the best song in pro wrestling. I said it, in pro wrestling. I don't know, because, dude, I'm not going to lie. Even when I'm not watching wrestling, I find myself, like, humming it's in my head. It's in my head. And when it just hits, man. It's like, it just hits. The song hits. You know what I mean? So I love the song. And so I feel like she needs to go off to herself, but keep that gimmick and keep the song. Don't change anything. But now she needs to do it, like, because she can keep the song and the gimmick as a single star. I feel like JC Jane no longer belongs in a group. We've already had, and we're going to get on that in just a bit, we've already had Jasmine Nix take her exit from the company, not in the group anymore, obviously, because she's gone. And then you still have Fallon Henley over there, but I feel like they could easily give us an angle where Fallon Henley finally kind of gets fed up by being second fiddle to JC Jane, and then the whole cliche... you know, do their whole one-on-one thing. And then, you know, just send Fallon Henley off into the sunset into a different storyline. But I think it's time to see JC Jane as a singles. I mean, which we already are seeing that. But what I mean, she's a big single star, but she's in this group that I just feel like she doesn't need to be in. Because at this point, I don't see any development coming for Fallon Henley with this. So hopefully we'll see that happen pretty soon. And she's somebody else that I feel like is ready for the main roster as well. So, and of course, you can't, obviously we say that, but we can't get every, I mean, obviously you're not going to get everybody at once on the main roster, but I feel like she is ready for it. So also I want to say, I mean, I don't know if she's been doing this, but I noticed, off the distraction, she hit like this back, JC did hit this back spinning elbow that, knocked out, Lola Vice and got the 1-2-3. So like, and it looked honestly, bro, it looked just like the Judas effect.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, I didn't realize she was doing the Judas effect now. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm not mad at it. But I'm just like, okay, that was all of a sudden. So that was very interesting there. So I just wanted to point that out before I moved on. So I'm gonna watch again to see if she used it again, and if she uses it again, or if she has like a name for it or whatever. I mean, it was pretty smooth. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure Jericho don't mind. But I mean, basically, it was a Judas effect. I mean, to me, I mean, that's what it was. You know what I mean?
That's what it looked like.
Right. That's what it looked like. So, and then, dude, let's talk about Lola Vice's dad in the front row, man. This guy, man, he was into the match the entire time, man. This dude, man, he was so into the match. I mean, he thought like he was at a real UFC fight. He was into the match, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I thought bro was gonna hop the barricade. You know what I mean? Like, he's about to, like, Pop's about to get up in here. You know what I mean? You know, and make this a handicap match player. You feel me? That's what he got to get out of Teddy Long style.
He don't look nothing like her.
What? Okay.
I guess maybe she looked more like her mom.
I mean, he's an old guy. He's older, so you know.
You know she's like what, Puerto Rican or something.
I mean, they're the same complexion and everything. I mean, to me. I mean, but that's like comparing a daughter and father features, which is always, well, not always, but most of the time it's kind of harder than, you know, like a son or something. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Where did he even come from? You were so random tonight. You were so random. I'm like, what?
I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, that's her daddy? I was like, he don't look.
Man, you're funny, bro. I hear you, man. I mean, well, I guess so. I saw the picture with her next to her mom, or she's with her mom. You're right. She does look a lot like her mom, though. I will say that. You're crazy, man. Hey, Lily. So we already talked about that. So let's go over to, So I think we can just go over to my man's over here. So pretty much, your boy in the main event of the evening, bro, obviously Obafemi defending the NXT World Championship against Ricky Saints. Knockout blockbuster match, just a straight up banger of a main event. Honestly, I don't think any of us expected for Ricky Saints to get the W. I didn't. I never expected Obafemi to drop the title at all. And when I say that, I think what I thought was actually going to happen was that he was going to continue to go on this streak of victories until he actually, what I thought was going to happen, when he was going to get called up to the main roster as the NXT champion and then drop the NXT title, making it vacant for like a new champion from NXT to take like in a tournament or a battle royal or what have you, or whatever, a triple threat match. But I thought they were going to protect him further and make him like this unstoppable dude coming to the main roster. That's kind of what I would have did. I would have been like, because I get it. People are saying, oh, well, you know, they had Ricky Saints win the championship because, I mean, obviously, Ricky Saints deserves to be champion, obviously. I mean, no beef with that. I'm good with it. But I think everybody's saying, well, that was so they can call up Oba. But I feel like you could have called up Oba as NXT champion, like I said already, have him just drop the title, you know, some way, or, you know, however you're going to write it in there, but have him drop the title without actually losing the title. And then you also leave that back door of a story open in your back pocket as a writer or creative mind, because now down the line, if I need to, I can go back and I can say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, you know, Oba Femi was never pinned for the championship. You know what I mean? And I have that option always. Maybe I never have to go back to it, but if I need to, I have that story waiting on to the side. Hey, he never really got pinned for the championship. He gave it up to go to the main roster. You know, just something there. I'm, you know, not a super big deal. It was a good match. And obviously, I can see the other side of it, too. You needed Ricky Saints to get a big win over somebody like a Oba Femi, like a pass the torch type deal, to get everybody to take him seriously as champion. So I get that as well. But now, you know, obviously, I'm pretty sure we're going to get at least one rematch, I would assume, at Halloween Havoc, maybe. I'm not sure. But what do you think about it?
I think this is pretty much going to be it, in my estimation.
No rematch, just straight to Monday Night Raw? Just forget that you got your ass whipped by Ricky Saint?
Because and the other reason I think why he lost the belt too was because we're getting ready for, like I said, this invasion coming up October 7th. And
he could have kept the championship and still been on the team.
Yeah, that too. Getting called up. I think that's what that was. Because why did he lose the championship at No Mercy?
Maybe they're gonna do like this weird, and I don't say weird, but like maybe like this angle where it's like, okay, you know, like you have Oba come out like tomorrow night, and then he's like, you know, showing that respect to Ricky Saints. Hey, you know, you ended up being a worthy challenger and you beat me and you earned it type angle. And then it's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna come back someday for the championship, but right now, you know, we gotta focus more on the fact that we're being invaded by another brand, and we gotta come together, you know, type thing. And then that kind of distracts the fans and then deviates away from the fact that you owe my man's a rematch. But you know what I mean? I feel like that's what they're gonna do, baby, man. You know, I can see that, man. Even though it's BS, by the way. But I can see them going that route. So, but anyway, man. So yeah, that's the show right there, folks. So that's NXT No Mercy. Overall, it's time for me to give it my rating. Just with everything, because of the cage match, the main event. You know, it's always hard or very rare, at least for me, when I'm shocked by something in pro wrestling. The main event did surprise me. I didn't see that coming. I also, the cage match was pretty damn good. Minus a few matches that were on there just for no reason at all. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give No Mercy a solid 7.5 from your boy Trill.
Yeah, that's a good.
I saw you looking at me like, I don't know.
Because I mean, it was a decent, like you said, it was a decent show.
You know what? Let's bump it up. I'll go ahead and give it an 8 because I really like the cage match and the JC Jane yeah. Match. So I'll bump it up to an eight. 0.5. But all right, folks, it's what y'all came online for. Normally, we wouldn't be, you know, we had to kind of combine. Basically, but folks, this is like two podcasts in one, basically. So, you know, we on here, though. But anyway, Monday night. Let's talk about it. We just ended the Monday Night Raw a little over an hour ago now. We open up with the same old Io Sky drama. Surprisingly, man, I say shaking your head. I thought, so the thing is, they kind of went a little left on us, though, because I thought they were going to, at least, you know what, though? At least they weren't predictable or not too predictable tonight, because I just automatically assumed we're going to get Io Sky coming out there all pissed off, like, oh, you know, calling out, you know, Asuka and Kairi Sane, like, you know, and then obviously they come out and they confront her, and then they get into it again, and then you get Rhea Ripley coming out to help. And then it's like automatically, oh, this tag team match got just announced. Now, that basically did happen, but it happened in a whole nother way. They at least kept it interesting. Because what I didn't expect was when Io Sky comes out there, and then you got, you know, Rhea telling her, hey, you know what, I told you so, all this stuff. But then you get the Kabuki Warriors on the screen. You know, telling, you know, Io Sky, hey, you know what? It's not too late. You can still come back to us. All you got to do is dump Rhea, you know, all this. So now they're playing like tug of war with Io Sky. So I didn't expect for that, for it to be at that level, especially after she got her ass whooped last week. But it happened that way. But then again, tonight she ends up getting her ass kicked again, and this time catching the poison mist from Asuka, which I'm a big fan of the mist, man. A huge, I said it before on, I think last week's show, I'm a huge fan of the mist by Asuka. Nobody's doing it like her. Nobody has done it like her in a very long time. So, but again, so it gives off a crazy effect, and I like the way everybody's been selling it like they should. Like, you know, once she hits that mist, bro, it's like they're gonna die. Like their flesh is coming off their bones, man. I love it. I love it, man. I love it. I love it. That's the way it should be. It's an awesome sell. It was an awesome sell last week by Rhea Ripley and an awesome sell this week by Io Sky. And then, of course, we fast forward into the show a little bit, and then we see Rhea Ripley coming to check on Io Sky. Prior to that, she had a run-in with Kairi Sane, who tried to guilt trip her and, like, leave a picture of, you know, her and the family trying to remind Io what they used to be or get in their head. This did not work because, long story short, it is now going to be Io Sky and Rhea Ripley against the Kabuki Warriors at Crown Jewel. And I can take it. I'm with that match. It gives, right now, this whole storyline is just honestly to give all four of them something to do. To be honest, man, like, I got no beef with it. At least they're keeping it interesting. But here's a little take that I had, and I doubt that it's going to happen. But if it did, that would be crazy. It would be real crazy. But I doubt, I mean, there's been so much that's happened. I just doubt that's the case. But it would be crazy if this whole thing is like a setup by Io Sky, Kairi Sane, and Asuka to get rid of Rhea Ripley. Like, the whole thing's a setup. Like, the whole thing was planned out. Like, and then at Crown Jewel, all three of them just jump Rhea Ripley. That would be crazy. But I doubt it. I doubt it because of the fact is, but then again, right now, we don't have, think about it, right now, we don't really have a women's, really a good women's feud big enough to me for a women's Survivor Series match. I mean, if they're gonna do one, I'll assume we're all, I'm assuming, right?
They'll do one.
Right. So I'm assuming that we're getting, cause I'm just looking at different scenarios here, because I'm assuming that we're gonna get a women's Survivor Series War Games match. And to get something like that, you have to have these teams, right? And you can't just start making teams. Well, I guess in the case of NXT and TNA, they have an excuse where they can just make teams. But even over there, they already have a reason. The reason over there is because we have this big war with NXT and TNA. That's their reason. So there goes their reason. But they have that open canvas when it comes to writing a story to where they can say, okay, I'm going to get these random people from both brands and put them in a match. That's great for them. But as far as the main roster, we still need those stories, like, okay, why are these two teams fighting, right? And so I just feel like, you know, something, if something like that were to happen at a Crown Jewel, now this gives Rhea the incentive to say, hey, wait a minute, now, because you got three three on one. Oh man, you know, I need some help against these Kabuki Warriors, right? And again, I doubt, that's just me with my crazy fantasy stuff. I doubt that's going to happen because I really think it's just, you know, it is what it is. I think it's, you know, pretty much, you know, Io Sky got stabbed in the back and now she's teaming up with Rhea Ripley, you know, on a one-off match against the Kabuki Warriors. Or we could see, you know, maybe some others join Rhea and Io later for a 5-on-5. I don't know. But then again, like, you know, who else is going to join? I mean, that's assuming if they're going to go with me. We don't even know who they plan to put in these matches. You know what I mean? So, and again, we still have time. We're pushing for, right now, we're working towards the Crown Jewel, you know, PLE, obviously. Got to get past that one, right? And then I think we'll start seeing, like, mid-October, that development towards Survivor Series. Or at least the end of it. You know what I mean? So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, so then we had Dirty Dom, man, defending that Intercontinental Championship against your boy Rusev up in there, man. Obviously, Dirty Dom, great match. You know, everything you could expect from both those guys. You know, Dirty Dom trying to pull out all the stops to get it done. Finally gets a sneaky-ass low blow off there on Rusev and gets the schoolboy pin for the 1-2-3. Still Intercontinental Champion Dirty Dom, leaving a very upset and pissed off Rusev in the middle of the ring there. So I can bet that ain't gonna be the last time that he's got to deal with Rusev though. You know what I mean? But again, I mean, dude, like, what can you say, man? Like, this is pretty much the second coming of Eddie Guerrero with everything.
As if he saw, you know, he did the little toss of the belt to the
ring. Oh yeah, right. The first time he tried to toss the belt, like he got hit by the belt, you know, everything. That didn't work. Then he got the referee into a position where his back was turned and gets the kick, the low blow kick on Rusev. You know what I mean? Just very Eddie Guerrero type fashion. So I'm loving it, man. I'm loving the push. Obviously, also, he's AAA champion, so I'm loving that, the whole double title thing. I mean, he's doing his thing right now. You know, eventually, I would like to see him break away on his own. But obviously, I know they're kind of just being careful. Well, I wouldn't say careful, but they're kind of just letting it, you know, ride with the wave. You know what I mean? Let, you know, ride that wave. I just don't want to see him decline. I want to see him where Eddie was. You know what I mean? And I think he's already on his way there pretty much. So we'll see, keep an eye on that. But we'll see what's next for Dirty Dom and the crew, man, as usual. And then we had Bailey, man, multiple personality tonight. Lucky for Lyle out there.
See, we can move on to the next segment.
I don't know where they're going with this, man. I don't know where they're going. I guess I get it, but I don't, because last week she.
I get it, what they're trying.
But I don't see what's the go where it's going.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, with the multiple personality, I'm thinking, and then I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this week we saw she had trouble with Judgment Day with Raquel, right, and Roxanne, and then obviously out comes Lyra Valkyria. Which to me don't make no sense because she snapped on her last week. So why would you even come back out this week? So that part didn't even make sense. But I don't know why Lyra Valkyria would feel inclined to come. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make sense. But I think because the people involved, I'm a big fan of Lyra Valkyria. I like Bayley, obviously. Obviously Judgment Day. Everybody, I like everybody tonight. So I think, you know, WWE knows what they can get away with. Like, okay, hey, you know what? We just put some bullshit out, but we got the right people doing the bullshit. So we're going to, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, if you pulled this shit with somebody else, like, if you tried to do that shit with, like, you know, somebody stupid or whatever, I'd be like, what is this? Like, what's going on right now? But I think it's because we're like, oh, okay, well, it's so-and-so, so it's got to lead somewhere. You know what I mean? So that, you know, we will always give benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? But I think in the back of our minds, we're all like, what is going on with this? You know, But okay, so but we'll see what happens with it. Then we had LA Knight getting into it in the back and throwing a whole bunch of shade on my man Kofi Kingston, though, because he was like, LA Knight was just like, look, bro, because Kofi Kingston tried to bring up, tried to tell, LA Knight to, stay in grown people's place or get out of grown people's business because, former world champions are talking. And LA Knight is like, hold on, dog, because yeah, you was a world champion and never gonna be one again. He threw that shade. And it was like, you know what? I mean, it's kind of true, bro. Kofi Mania was like once in a lifetime. It's probably never gonna happen again.
That was it.
But we're saying that's it. But then, that was a nice little joke or shade thrown by LA Knight. But then if you notice during the match, Wade Barrett and the commentary crew were kind of pushing because Wade was like, hey, I don't understand why people don't talk more about Kofi Kingston's world championship. So all of a sudden you got commentary kind of, pushing that back out there, reminding those of us who may have forgotten or didn't even know that Kofi Kingston was a world champion. It was mentioned twice tonight, really three times. So is there a little bit more something to that? Or are they trying to maybe bring that back to the front of our minds for a reason?
It was just something probably mentioned by the commentary team, pretty much. Doesn't really throw that in there, to just remind people.
All right, man. We'll see, man. Like trying to give Kofi a push or something. I doubt it though. But nevertheless, I mean, that match was what it was. Again, just something for LA Knight to do on his pit stop on his way through his usual storyline stuff that he's got going on. Nothing really much there to talk about too much. And then we had a little run-in with Becky Lynch and Maxine Dupri backstage. So are we? I mean, what's going on with this Maxine push here? We had you heard getting Becky's face. Becky beat her up pretty bad in the back.
Another match between the two.
Yeah, they got a match scheduled for. Yeah, they got a match scheduled for next week. So, I mean, so what do we? I mean, obviously, we don't expect Maxine to win that match, but we do expect her to put a big showing on. You're in there with one of the goats, man. One of the top women. So, I think just with them having her in that match with Becky Lynch says a lot. Maybe they're starting to see something they like from Maxine Dupri. So let's keep our eyes on that. Gonna be very interesting to see what happens with that next week. And then we had the Seth freaking Rollins and my boy Cody Rhodes. But first, before we get into this promo, bro, oh my God. Come on now. If y'all was watching the show tonight, bro. So your man's Cody Rhodes comes out. We know classic Cody entrance, the music, the suit, the bright lights, you got the fans into it, singing the theme song, all that good stuff. But then when he goes to hit his, famous, his thing, there is no pyro. And it wasn't at first. I was like, okay, maybe they're not gonna do that tonight. Because I mean, we've seen sometimes where like, people will come out and do their little motions, but they don't get their pyro all the time. But no, first of all, because I mean, for a split second, that's what I took it for, right? I was like, okay, he just ain't gonna get that tonight. But then I thought to myself, I'm like, when has he never got that? He always gets that. It don't matter if he comes out like him and Roman Reigns. It don't matter if they coming out just for a promo. It don't matter if they coming out to go sit on commentary or whatever it is. They gonna get those pyro spots every time. Every time. You see what I'm saying? So I was like, wait a minute. No, they just messed up. Because and then he low key called them out because he did even he was thrown off because But I'll tell you what, he's a good one. He's a good one. He's a good improviser because he came. I mean, this live TV. So he was like, oh, and he's waiting. He does the whole thing. And he's waiting for the pop. And then he's like, oh, and he looked back and was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And that does it. And you don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all got to go hit up Netflix and go back to that moment, it's on there. It's on, and I'm pretty sure they're gonna. Y'all already know the IWC, and all these social media pages. They're gonna eat that up. I'm pretty sure after I get off this show, I'm definitely gonna go. I know I'm gonna go search my timeline because I'm pretty sure there's already some video up. There's probably some memes up already, some reels up. I already know. Because as soon as I saw that, I was like, I'm going to eat this up. I'm going to talk about this. And like my man's Derek here. Welcome, Derek, to the show, man. Thanks for checking in. He said the pyro mishap. Same with AJ. Yeah, I didn't notice that with AJ, but he's right. AJ, but see, that's what I was saying earlier. Somebody like AJ Styles, I didn't notice because, I mean, AJ is not as big as Cody Rhodes. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, I'm not expecting for AJ Styles to get pyro every time. But Cody Rhodes gets pyro every time. So when AJ came out, I'm like, okay, whatever, is AJ coming out, whatever. I mean, it's not like a, you know, a pay-per-view or something, so whatever. But no, it doesn't matter. And when Cody Rhodes come out, Roman Reigns come out, those dudes get pyro every time. Every time. And you could tell, like I said, maybe they would have got away with it if Cody had just came out and was like, okay, bam, bam, and never turned around and kept walking, I would have been like, I don't know about that. But then I was like, okay, well, Cody ain't saying nothing. But Cody literally like, nah, wait, what's going on? Even he was confused. What is going on? So I'm telling you, somebody in the truck got fired tonight. Somebody got chewed out, fired. Somebody's in trouble tonight for sure, man. But anyway. Of course, both of these guys, I mean, we already know. I mean, it's pretty much textbook. Seth freaking Rollins, Cody Rhodes, both of these guys, money on the mic. Cody bringing up the whole scenario when Seth Rollins helped him win the championship back at Mania 40, taking it personal, taking it deep, the whole long-term storytelling thing there. Both of those guys. And I don't care what Seth Rollins says. I feel like Cody Rhodes is up in this dude's head, bro. I mean, even in the back when Paul Heyman was like, hey, man, you know, Paul Heyman saying all his usual shit, whatever. And then Seth is like, no, I got to beat this dude. We ain't just talking about it. I got to. And even though Seth is like, oh, well, you know, all those matches are behind us. Nah, like, it still bothers him that Cody got one up on him. And he feels like that, hey, you know what? I gotta beat this dude at Crown Jewel to solidify myself. You know what I mean? So, you know, just, you know, both of those guys, even though, like, this match didn't need that promo. As soon as we found out that these two guys were going head-to-head for the Crown Jewel title, I mean, that was enough for me. But, I mean, these guys now just putting, you know, the icing, the cherry on top of the cake, you know what I'm saying, with a little bit of vanilla drizzle coming down the side for your boy, making it, you know, just that much better. So I'm hyped for that match. I'm as hyped for that match as I am for the Stephanie Valkyrie Tiffany Stratton, which I'm pretty sure they're going to push that one even more this coming Friday. So I'm excited for that one as well. So anyway, a whole lot said there. Then we get to the main event. We got the Usos. Fresh out that Uso penitentiary, going in against the Vision and that boy Bron Breakker, and you already know them dogs was barking. You know what I'm saying? And coming out with that boy Bronson Reed, coming out just a banger of a main event, man. This thing, I thought I was watching somebody play WWE 2K25 Tornado Tag, because it was all type of shit going down. I'm talking about everything, especially the spot with my boy Bron Breakker just coming off the damn barricade and hitting that boy with the clothesline through the table on some disrespectful type of time. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it was just, I mean, look, this, it's, you know, it takes a lot. You know, I watch a lot of wrestling, y'all. I watch a lot of wrestling. I'm at live shows all year, every year, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, y'all shot with your boy next month. You know, I'm pulling up on the NXT Halloween Havoc in Arizona. I'm pulling up on the SmackDown. I'm pulling up and I'm in the building, understand what I'm saying? So I do a lot of live shows. So it takes a lot to get me excited. And this match tonight got me excited. I mean, I got out. I'm in my own house You know, I got out my seat. I got off my couch. Like, I was at the show when Bron Breakker hit that clothesline off the top. It was very exciting. You know what I mean? And that was saying a lot, you know, especially for a regular weekly event like this. This was a very good Raw. Probably one of the best Raws in a long time that I've seen. And it's also very hard to keep my attention. But a very good match. Obviously, we end the match like we would any match involving the Vision, with a whole bunch of nonsense and shenanigans. And then, then what happens? The Usos find themselves down on their luck a little bit. But then what happens? The music hits and the whole arm changes because we get, and you know I'm about to get hyped. You know I'm about to get hyped. You know I'm about to get hyped. Put the ones up, the two ones up, because the original, the only, the OTC Roman Reigns returning, right? I mean, just, I wasn't expecting that. Again, that goes back to that surprise element. I had no idea. Obviously, I knew at some point. Yeah, go ahead.
He wrapped up the filming, the movie, Street Fighter. So,
yeah.
He decided to, you know, go ahead and bring him back. Bring him back now. I think we're going to get another. It's like we're getting another match between him and Reed.
You mean Roman Reigns, you mean?
Yeah.
Roman versus Brock. But I've been wanting that. So here's the thing. Think about that, right? So if you remember back, and I'm talking about back to WrestleMania this year, the Raw after WrestleMania, you know, Bron Breakker hits Roman Reigns with the spear. I mean, he speared Roman through the damn barricade. Right, I was at that show. I was there a lot. He hit that man through the barricade, which is awesome, by the way. I got it on video, by the way. But that's another conversation. But okay, it was crazy, right? And I was like, okay, look, no, he owed this man a receipt. He's owed this man a receipt for a long time, and he got him a piece tonight. The steel chair shots. He wore his ass out with that steel chair. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, straight up. But no, we need the one-on-one match. So I mean. To me, the only match that makes sense at Crown Jewel is Roman Reigns versus the Bron Breakker. And you saw what they did there, that even though he came out to help the Usos and he attacked pretty much everybody. But you saw, like, they had that kind of spot where it was just Roman coming directly at Bron Breakker. So you got to imagine, you know, Bron Breakker's going to be pissed off. Like, hey, I got to get my hands on Roman Reigns. Right. And they set it up to where, I mean, this is already a stat card. Yeah. I mean, look, TKO. Papa H, if you're listening, you got to give us Roman Reigns and Bron Breakker at Crown Jewel. You got to give it to us. You know what I'm saying? Because we already can expect that War Games that we're going to get, our Survivor Series, whatever you call it, whatever. We're going to get the whole Bloodline, you know, Division, whatever we're going to get. We know that. I know we're going to get, like, Roman teaming up with Jay and Jimmy, right? And then who else ever going to join, whatever, versus whoever else. Maybe we get that. We don't know. I can see that happening, right? But I expect him to be in some kind of War Games environment. Maybe not. They might switch it up on us. Who knows? But at some point, y'all got to give us Bron Breakker and Roman Reigns. Even though I know they're talking about Bron Breakker and Brock Lesnar, and that's a whole other topic for a different day. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that on the Friday pod. But right now, give me that match. Give me that match, right? Then... another thing, right? So then after all this is good, whatever, okay. Roman's dapping up Jey Uso, who's already been acting crazy for the past couple weeks. Now you got Roman Reigns hyping up Jey, and Jey like, yeah, you know, and you can hear Roman saying different things to Jey, like, oh, you gotta come in and take this shit. You gotta come in and be, you know, blase, 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 right? But then you see Jimmy kind of in the back looking like, oh, this is what we doing, like. You know, he turned into, you know, Jimmy in the back, like, like really looking a little bit of jealous, a little bit of disappointed, a little bit of worry. I got different emotions coming from Jimmy at the same time. So what's that looking like?
Yeah, it's very interesting there. Like you said, you can see Jimmy up there kind of just looking like, oh, okay, listening to him. So, yeah, he, Roman definitely getting in Jay's head, if you will. And so now it's kind of like, you know, he got the big head or whatever the case is, you know, because he listening to, you know, listening to Roman now, so.
Exactly, bro. We're going to see what happens with it, bro. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, obviously, I mean, I don't know. It's like now I really don't have a prediction because I can't see which way it's going. But it's given that Jay is pretty much going to turn into like the next tribal chief. And then, you know, we'll see where this leaves Jimmy. And it's very interesting right now. It's crazy how many layers. Over the years, there's been so many layers on this bloodline storyline that we can just keep pulling back. And as soon as you feel like it's over, oh, here goes another piece of it. Even right now, if you look over on SmackDown, you got Solo bringing back his crew. You know what I'm saying? You know, JC Mateo popping back up in the promos and segments. You got Tongaloa popping back up. You know what I mean? So they, you know, we thought they was over with. They back in the picture. You know, what they about to do next. You feel me? Like, so it's so mean. It's crazy how this one bloodline thing turned into a whole, like, just, I mean, this damn near at this point, like, this could be like a whole 20-year, 30-year story. Like, you know what I'm saying? We gonna be sitting up here in wheelchairs watching the bloodline. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm here for it. And then my man Derek was like, Ron Breaker ready for another singles championship. I mean, he's always ready for a singles championship, but I feel like right now, we don't need that. He don't need that right now. Like, right now, he's busy building these storylines, and then when he's done with all that, I think the next time you put a championship on Ron Breaker is when he's going to be a babyface, and that's going to be a while. Because I eventually do see the angle, too, when this is all said and done, where you got Ron Breaker, and then he finally realizes, like Cody Rhodes told him last week or so, he was like, look, man, you know, Paul Heyman ain't loyal to nobody, and they using you or whatever. And I think eventually he's going to realize that, you know, he's been pretty much like a henchman, a puppet the whole time for the vision, you know what I mean? And he's going to get fed up, and then you do get like a pass the torch type big match, big money main event where you got your Bron Breakker and your Seth Rollins for the world title. And then maybe you have Bron Breakker at some point down the line get that world title. I mean, it's going to happen. But right now, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And it's really not even necessary. But I feel you. I mean, it's Bron Breakker. I mean, the dog is always barking for a championship. You know what I mean? That's what I was saying. Maybe a tag team. I could see. But then, who's even got the Raw belts right now? Who?
The Judgment Day.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. But you see what I'm saying? Because they haven't been doing nothing with that. So I'll be forgetting the people. So, see what I'm saying? Like, I guess if you're gonna send them after them, I mean, but for what? Like, so yeah, right now there's really no reason. Right now, what they're doing with Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker is perfect, right? For right now. But then going into some other topics, so that's our show for Raw. Oh yeah, so my Raw rating for tonight, man, I definitely wrote, like, I mean, it was a 10 out of 10. I highly recommend. I mean, look, it's a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 tonight. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 for Monday Night Raw tonight. I was very happy with everything tonight that happened. So we're going to wrap it up here with two more topics and we up out of here, bro. But Jasmine Nix, bro. So Jasmine Nix, obviously written off of TV, come to find out. She was not fired. She was offered a contract that she turned down, chose not to continue, and now she's going off to do other things. I mean, I got no beef with it. You know, you got a lot of haters and people online talking about, she gonna go do OnlyFans, which I don't. First of all, I'm gonna say this about the OnlyFans. Nah, but let me say this. Let me say this, right? So, with the OnlyFans, Okay, so, I mean, we living in a weird ass time where it's like dudes. I mean, now, you know, I'm 37. So, I mean, growing up, I was, you know, it was always the women who didn't like each other, and they always had something to say about each other. I mean, even now, I mean, women, that's expected. I mean, really not even just women, with men, like gender wise, like us, like even dudes, we got other dudes that's going to say stuff about us that don't like us because they jealous of us or whatever the case is. Or, you know what, maybe some of it's true or whatever, but either way, we can expect that from the same gender. But now these times weird because you got grown ass men that just hate women, and they always got some negative stuff to say. And I mean, I don't see no problem with OnlyFans. Okay, let me say this right now, as a single bachelor that loves the ladies, I'm gonna tell you something right now. Now, I'm gonna tell you something right now. Okay, like if you into making content and you got a problem dating because men got a problem with you, hey, look. Matter of fact, not only do I not have a problem with the content, baby, if you been a co-star, hey, look at all this. I got the ring. I'm good. I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? We could turn this to a whole. Studio. You know, I live by myself. It's all the street. I ain't got no roommates, none of that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm gonna hook it up. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing. So I don't understand these weirdos. Here's my thing, right? If you got some dude that's living in his mom's basement that's stupid enough, he's stupid enough to pay. You know, I don't know how much these dudes pay. I mean, I don't do it. You know, I don't pay nobody for nothing. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hear about it all the time. You know, the big money. You know, these cats be tipping money for a conversation, or they paying money for a pair of panties or some weird shit or something. Or what? I mean, for real. Like, look, if there's some dude out there and he's stupid enough to go spend that money and send it to my girl because she posted whatever, go ahead, because that money coming back into my household. It ain't like they doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, listen, like I said, we can make movies together. We can make movies together, okay? As a matter of fact, for a brief little time, you know, not everybody knows her anyway, but my ex back in the day, you know, I ain't gonna say all that. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna leave it like this. I ain't gonna put all my shit out there. But look, I done made a couple motion pictures. I done made a couple of films. You know what I mean? I've dipped and dabbled with the OnlyFans. So I don't have no beef with OnlyFans. I feel like the dudes that be beefing with OnlyFans is a bunch of, I mean, honestly, bro, to me, you know what I'm saying? It's small dangling syndrome. Small dangling syndrome, you know what I mean? I'm gonna say dangling. You know, I'm trying to stop being so vulgar and cussing on the show. So I gotta find other words and shit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but there I go. I done messed up and said that. But whatever. But at least that's, you know, me saying shit is actually pretty PG. That's how bad I am. If anybody knows that, that's, you know. But you know what I mean? so like that small dangling in energy to me. You over here hating on women, talking about, oh, she can't. Oh, she out here, she doing all this. And then the main dudes that be talking, not all of them, but like 95% of them, they ain't got nothing going on. They ain't got, when I say nothing going on, I'm talking about you up here, you know, and this ain't judging nobody, but it's what it is. If you gonna come for somebody, you gotta make sure you got your shit together. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like, some of these dudes be out here, like, I mean, down bad. You out here, you know, you 30 plus years old, you living with roommates, like you 19, and then you over here working at Jack in the Box and you waiting for the bus. You at the bus stop tweeting or whatever the hell you doing, tweeting, you on X, you on whatever the hell you on, whatever you ever talking shit talk. Oh, well, the only one they doing the OnlyFans. The only one they doing the OnlyFans. Like, man, shut your ass up. You just mad because you can't pull no OnlyFans chick. That's your problem. Look, hey, the DMs is open. Let me get my hands on. Let me tell you something. Not only will I be advertising this show, I'll be advertising my next scene. Look, you're gonna see me up in the story. Hey, look, we link in the bio. Link in the bio. And look, people can be like, oh, well, yo, listen, I'm a grown ass man. My family know I'm crazy. My family don't mess with me. They don't mess with me. Anything, if I say it's good, then if it's good with me, it's good with my family. Because, you know, it's always somebody try to be like, oh, well, what's your mama going to think? What's your dad? Look, I'm a grown ass man. I'm a grown ass man. I do what I want. What's your name?
Yeah, went off and said joke piece on it. These women now, you know, I tell guys this all the time. I'm like, bro, let these women do what they do. Like, they trying to, you know, make a bag, trying to make a living, or what they trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Let them go there and stop them from, you know, making their money, you know, stuff like that. But you sitting up there whining and complaining and stuff, and look at that, and then look at Mandy Rose. Take for an example, a woman that made more than she ever made in her entire life. Now her husband is Sabatelli. You know, he was used to be on NXT before he got news and stuff. You know, he don't have no problem with it. Cool. Like, he's like, hey, this is what you want to do. You want to make all that money, millions, whatever the case is, go ahead and do it. So, you know, these people got to stop that. Oh, she going out there doing this, doing that. And let me say this too, like, for these wrestlers, like, one, they don't even be showing off. So if you think you're going to come on here and see everything, they say no. They put all that pretty much in the description and all that.
Well, now, I'm going to say this. Now, again, I ain't going to put all my shit out there, but now I ain't going to say how I know. But hey, look, I ain't going to say how. But all I know is a few people. Be definitely showing some things, okay? But but you gotta subscribe. But you know, and the thing is, bro, if there's a demand for something though, right? If there's a demand for something, then why not cash out? Right? That's always been my mentality, right? If there's a demand, then cash out on it, take advantage of it, right? If there's some dude out there that's gonna pay all this money for this stuff, okay, let's go. Right? It don't hurt my ego. Look, hey, if my girl doing OnlyFans, let's do OnlyFans. Okay. Like I said, it ain't like, you know, she out here going to go see these guys. She, you know, messing with these dudes or whatever. Like, hey, you know, she's saying, you know, whatever. She's an entertainer. She's entertaining and she making her money. I ain't got no problem with that. Right? So I just don't understand how these dudes be hating and saying all this. And then, by the way, she made a statement. She actually uploaded a video where she said that, hey, you know, I'm not going OnlyFans, you know, because she used to be a professional soccer player too. So I don't know, she might be trying to go back to that. I know her boyfriend is also involved in some other stuff. I mean, you know, and they both do pretty well for themselves. You know what I mean? And it could just be a thing of, you know, a lot of people leave for mental reasons, mental health reasons. Maybe, you know, we don't know, you know, what her life was like or is like on the road with the company. So I mean, she made, just like any other regular human, like any of us would, she made a decision for herself to do what she felt like she needed to do, and I got no problem with that. I'm definitely gonna miss seeing her on TV because she was looking good. You understand?
It's just like the other people been through, you know, doing stuff like that. And so it's plenty, like I said, it's plenty of wrestling that it's done. It's just a matter of, you know, you is to let them do what they do.
Exactly, exactly, exactly that. So, well, yeah, man, I believe that's going to be our show for the night, man. I guess I think I did have, I know I've been sending you, I've been telling y'all to send me the DMs, answer me questions. Well, we had Derek on here saying something. Oh, yeah, I got the Judgment Day should just drop the men's tag titles. That question came from Derek here on our live IG channel. Well, not question, but statement. Judgment Day should drop the men's tag. If they're going to drop them, who are they going to drop them to? Because right now, it's like, they just got to do a better. Well, you know what, though? But we did see tonight, though, we saw the tag team of AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. Now, I don't know if that was just something to do or if they're going to keep those boys together. But
just something to do. I can tell you that now.
Maybe you're going to have, but to me, that looks a little goofy after AJ went after Dominic for the Intercontinental title and failed. And now you're showing back up with a random tag team partner. Now you're trying to get the tag team belts. I don't know if they're gonna do it. I like Judgment Day with all the gold right now. I feel like the Judgment Day is about to make a big splash on the storyline. I just feel like what they're doing right now is they're buying time for Liv Morgan to come back. Yeah. I think when Liv Morgan comes back, you're gonna see something big go down with that. So that's why they're holding on to that stuff right now. But yeah, that's gonna be a show for tonight. I had one, I'm gonna go ahead and answer one question that I did get. They asked me, what made you start a podcast? And how does someone get started on one? So that's a good question. So I don't know, man. I'm a wrestling fanatic, super fan. You know, I consider myself to be one. And I decided that, you know, the community needed a voice that actually is not I guess I will say that. I felt like as a community, even though I'm not the only person doing podcasts, but I feel like when I look at a lot of these podcasts, there's always some goofy-ass looking Mark that's always saying something that don't make no damn sense. And then he looks like the biggest nerd of all time. Or either it's some fat, overweight, greasy, neck beard loser that's talking and still saying goofy, biased things. So I figure I'd give y'all a handsome, fit-looking dude, to represent the community, and I'm going to come on here and say whatever I want because I can. And I like a lot of people either they don't say what they want because they aren't confident enough. Or, for whatever reason, like maybe they feel they can't say what they want to say or whatever, but that's not me. I don't fall in either one of those categories. So I felt like that's what I wanted to do. And also, I wanted to come on here and have some fun, man, and take advantage of, this live feature. Cause I think here on Instagram, you can't even go live unless you're, I think it's like either 1,000 followers or more or something like that. So I take advantage of whatever they give me and whatever platform they give me, have some fun. And, for the main thing, like I said, just to get something different out there. I feel like everybody's doing the same thing, and so that's what I wanted to do. Now, as far as starting your own podcast, I forgot who sent me that. I kind of put their question in my notes. But if you want, and if you're watching this, I'll go back and I'll look again. I'll probably talk to them one-on-one in my DMs. But, I can give you the steps on how I got started. It's really not a lot of money to start up. You're going to need to get with one of these apps or these sites that's going to push your show to the platforms. We just go live here on IG to mess around with everybody and kind of just talk trash or whatever and go over the stuff. And kind of it makes it less boring to record because right now we're recording here on my app here on my Mac. We're recording the entire show. Where later on I'm gonna edit out and get that shipped out to Spotify and other podcast platforms. But right now we're just on here shooting it up with everybody and doing our thing. But yeah, it's not a really big cost to start up. Whoever that was, I'm gonna track you down again and we'll talk for sure. But that's going to be tonight's show. We're going to get at y'all again on Friday night. I'm not even going to lie. There was a couple of topics to include The Rock possibly running for president that I want to talk about. But I'm going to dip and tap into that. He started laughing. I'm going to dip into that one Friday. We're going to say, I got that on the Friday pod. We're going to talk about it on the Friday pod. We're going to open up with that on the Friday pod. I promise. We also, his movie coming out too, The Smashing Machine. I'm going to go see that thing though. Speaking of movies, like I said, The Rock Smashing Machine coming out next week, and I'm going to go check it out. But then also, I did get out last night to go see him. That was a good movie. It was a good movie. And that's the one with the Wayne brother in there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Obviously, anytime, he makes a movie, anytime any kind of big name, everybody kind of go rush out and go see it. It was a little bit more to it than what I expected. It definitely has a deeper message to it. I definitely encourage everybody to go check it out. I think you'd enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and give it a would recommend, and I'm going to go ahead and give it an 8. It was a good movie with a good plot. Kept me engaged the whole time. So go check it out. Like I said, also you got Smashing Machine coming up with The Rock next weekend. So I'm gonna go out there and check that out as well. And I'm gonna let y'all know about that one as well. And we're gonna open up the next pod talking about his possible him running for the office coming up. And obviously we'll come back at y'all with that SmackDown review on a Friday night. And Jules, what you got for him, man?
Oh well, yeah, we'll be back. Course.
Yeah, well, it's a really bad of course. Go ahead. Go.
Dang. Yes. It's going to be interesting. I'm telling you, it's going to be an interesting SmackDown. For sure. Leading into the big show in October.
And Crown Jewel. We're going to see it. All right. Well, without further ado, I bid y'all a good night here from the West Coast. And until next time, this has been The Trail Count, and we'll catch you on the other side. Peace.